Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. In our society, most people are content to go through their daily lives safely and peacefully. But our society is not always safe or peaceful. For that reason, some men and women answer a higher calling to defend and protect their fellow man. You probably know someone who is one of these people, or maybe you are one of these people. The ones who see and do the things most people would never want to. These things are sometimes heroic and beautiful, but often they are horrific and terrifying. It's these things they don't share about with other people. It's these things they carry with them, so you don't have to. But when they get together, they talk to each other about them. And they call these stories war stories. Welcome to this episode of War Stories. I am Tom, and with me this week is a familiar voice to some of you who've listened for a while, is my good buddy Adam. How are you, brother?
What's up, man? Good to be back.
Yeah, last time we had you on was... Shoot, you were supposed to be on with your buddy, but something came up.
It was actually a year ago.
Yeah, so it was a year ago that you came on and talked about getting fucking shot, which, you know, that's always fun talking about that again, right?
You know what? Actually, it was much easier to talk about when I did talk about it on the show, so... There were several years though that, yeah, it was kind of difficult to talk about, but yeah, it was fun, man.
I ain't even gonna lie. When I listened to that dispatch audio for the first time on the show, it choked me up because, you know, you're my boy. We shared so many times together. It was like, oh fuck, dude. I should have been there. God damn it.
You know, it's funny. Even my partner, and I think I told you this, my partner at the time, we got split up during that whole thing. So, He always talks about that. And I mean, if it was roles reversed, I would feel the same thing. Like, what the F? Why wasn't I there? How come we couldn't have been together? You know, that sort of thing. So I get it. Any friend, you're going to feel like that.
But what's really awesome is that the Three Musketeers are reunited because Brownie is here with us.
Hey.
AB.
Oh, dude. So to give you a little background, first of all, how are you, Brownie?
Good. Doing good.
I know you. I see you doing good all the time. It's just getting better and better for you. But, you know, it's always good to talk to you.
Heck yeah. Good talking to you guys. Seeing your faces.
Yeah, you are now.
Man, it is really good seeing your faces. Even
right?
Even your ugly face with that beard, Tom.
Oh, yeah. This beard is legit. Right?
I'm just kidding. You know I'm jealous of all that hair, so that's why I say that.
Yeah, I look like the Wolfman now. Well, I decided to get the big old handlebar mustache going and shit because, you know, I'll be moving to a very rural area, which is another thing we can talk about on the show, is that I am escaping California, boys. That is what's happening. So we haven't been able to talk about it on the show, and that's one of the reasons, like, John hasn't been available. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we'll talk about on a future episode, but I am actually getting to escape California. However, that's not what today is about. Brownie and Adam and I, we all came on the job pretty much together. Like, you and Brownie went to the academy together, right?
We did. 2000, we started 2002.
Yeah, and I went to the academy that same year, but a different academy. So I was like 6 months behind you guys, I think. And I remember Brownie was – you were already out of FTO. Adam came out of FTO like my first day on the job, right? I remember showing up to work and starting FTO, and you were coming off a graveyard shift, I think with Franco, right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you were getting
– Franco was my last FTO.
Yeah. So Franco, I remember being in the hallway in front of all our mailboxes, our little cubbies, and watching you get the blessing that you were done with FTO. And that was your last shift as a trainee. And I was like, I was so like, I mean, you're only 6 months or actually 4 months ahead of me at that point. And I was just so like in awe and jealous, like, oh my God, he made it. Oh my God, am I going to make it?
Which is so funny because we both have this about the same amount of knowledge, which is jack
which
shit.
Is nothing. but that's like you had passed FTO, and that was like you would, sure. You were always told you were going to get your shit pushed in FTO, and you know, that was the next hurdle was passing probation after FTO. So, you know, it was kind of fun to like we all came on about the same time together.
Yeah.
And
then
we became like the fucking Smash Brothers, man. We loved working together, and we tried to put in for the same shit. They tried to split us up a lot because the sergeants wanted to work with us because we actually did a good fucking job.
Yeah.
Well, I think we were just three young cops that really loved being cops, and you know, and we enjoyed the job.
Right.
Or at least what we knew of it.
Right, exactly. And that town, for those of you that don't know, the city we worked in is a, I don't know, mid to small size city.
It's a small city, Tom.
Is it small? Is it really
that
small?
It's a bedroom community, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's a bedroom community, but it's still not like, it's still not 1,500 people. I mean, I've talked to people that their small cities like 5,000, you know. So we were like 30,000 or 35,000 or something like that. But yeah, we were compared to, you know, a big LAPD type agency, we were tiny.
For sure.
But we had crime. Like we had tweakers. It was a lot of white trash tweakers. A lot of white trash tweakers. A lot of meth.
A lot of meth.
Yeah. And we had fun, you know, graveyard summers. Right? Like weekend graveyard summers was the best. It was like 85 degrees at night, and we could wear short sleeves all night and just go run around smashing people until there was nobody left to smash, and then we would go sit at the park and talk shit.
Yeah.
Those are some of the best memories. In fact, you know, what just popped in my head is, and I was even telling Corinne about this, my girl, about how, okay, in the middle of summer, we'd hear these, remember we'd be meeting, you know, car to car, and then we'd hear these screams, and you keep hearing these screams, you're like, what the hell is that? That's a woman screaming. We need to find that.
Oh, no, we're going to get to that story because you're telling it wrong. Brownie, you remember well, this story, don't you? You remember this one, right?
How many times?
Okay, we'll get to the
peacocks later.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's a perfect way to break the ice. So I wanted to do this episode because this is like a tattletale episode. This is Tom, Aaron, and Adam, Brownie, as we call them. All tattletaling on each other, dumb fuck, rookie, cop, you know, no hash marks, just trying to arrest everybody we could for stupid shit. And so I call it the tattletale episode because basically what we're going to do is, you remember the time you did this? So, oh. Brownie's getting paged.
Dickfucker.
You want to cut that out or leave that in?
What happened, Aaron?
Fucking
what
cat.
Happened, dude?
Fucking cat
sitting there going, meow.
That's your first problem. Yeah, you have a cat.
I have two cats.
Oh God.
Two cats. Double. Well, we had a bitchin' ass little Roddy, but we had to put her down a couple weeks ago.
So. Oh yeah, I saw that. I'm sorry.
That sucks.
That does suck. So basically we all kind of came up together, and There's an episode of The Office. I think it's like the series finale or something like that. And I know it sounds weird to bring up, but this is what made me think of it, is one of the characters is being interviewed and he's got a new job and he's really happy and all that kind of stuff. But they ask him about his time at, you know, Dunder Mifflin or whatever. And he goes, man, I really miss those days. And he stops and he goes, you know, I wish when you were in the golden days, somebody would tell you that they were the golden days so you could savor it and enjoy it more. And I thought that was like really kind of poignant because I never had more fun being a cop and this includes narcs hanging from helicopters and all that stuff. That was fun, but I never had more fun being a cop than rolling code 3 to stupid shit with you guys.
Hell yeah.
There's nothing better than that first year, that first 6 months. Are you my stepson saying hi?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, Eric?
What's up?
Okay.
You know why DJs name their kids Eric? Eric. Eric.
Anyway. So, you know, it's funny being a bright new shiny cop, because I remember for that I want to say was that same day, or, you know, one of the first days. No, I'm talking right now. They can't hear you. Or you can't hear them, so it doesn't matter. Give me a few minutes, okay?
Why they can't hear me?
So awesome. Family life, brother.
Hey, why they can't hear me, man?
Why they can't hear me? I was flying back from where we're moving last night, and I heard this little 3-year-old voice as the plane landed go, "Are we in our town now?" And I was like, "That's such a toddler question to ask."
Right.
Anyway, were saying.
So I remember pulling out, going 10-8 for one of the first times. I don't know if it was the exact first time, but I remember driving by. Remember when you drive down ECR?
Yeah.
And you look to the left and you start passing all those buildings, and they had those big long windows and that reflection. I remember looking at myself in the police car, in the reflection, going, damn, hell, that's yeah. Cool, man.
Okay. I'm like, that's, I'm yeah. a cop, man. I did the same thing. Because yeah. Right next to the police station, just south of the police station, when you went 10-8, there was a store, and that store had the big, huge glass windows, and you could see yourself in the reflection. And I'm sure the motors loved that store, because they could look at all their, you know, they could look at how bitching they looked on their motorcycle. I remember having the exact same moment where I was driving past those windows, and I'm alone in a police car, and I look out the window, and I see myself in a uniform, in a black and white, alone in a police car, and went, holy fuck. They're really letting me do this?
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
I do vividly. That's one of the points in my career where I'll always remember, which is a silly moment.
Right.
But so, I don't know. It's just so integral in my memory as to how important my, you know, the things that I remember my career. And it's nothing big, but I'll always remember that.
So I'll go back to the story you were telling, which... So we got dispatched, and this is the, so I'll just start us off. This is how the stories, we'll just start the stories now. You, me, and Brownie, it was, I think it was one of you got dispatched as primary. I think it was Adam. You got dispatched as primary, and Brownie got dispatched as the backup unit. And then I decided to roll just because fuck it. If we're going to get in some shit, I want to be there. Right. And, it was a report on the south end of town. And as listeners of this podcast know, it's always the fucking south end of town. It's always the south end. We are rolling to the south end of town for a woman screaming. It was dispatched as a woman screaming, right? And we get there and we get out of the car and we start checking the area on foot, and it's dead quiet. I think it was like 2 a.m. or something like that. It was, again, weekend, summer, graveyards. And it was dead quiet, right? And we're all looking, we're all listening, and it's right in the area of some apartments, and we're thinking, okay, some chick in one of these apartments is getting her ass whooped, and we're going to need to go, like, hook up her partner, right? Well, we hear nothing. It was dead quiet, right? And then all of a sudden, we hear a woman screaming. And Adam, you were like, oh my God, there it is. Do you hear it?
I was.
And
guys, we got to find you. We got to find this. Someone's going to kill this bitch.
And you're looking at us with these, just like the big eyes like you have right now. You're like,
I did.
Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Where are we going to find her? And Aaron and I look at each other. Oh, we just start cracking up laughing. We're busting up laughing. And you're like, what? What? What's the problem? And we went, dude, that's a peacock. And it was one of those things where I don't think you'd ever heard a peacock howl, And but Aaron and I had, and we knew the sound, and you were like, it does sound like a woman screaming for help. Do you remember that, Brownie?
Yep.
And we had, oh, we were dying.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was
funny. Not so funny to me at the time, but
fuck you guys.
Well, because we couldn't even tell you. We were laughing so hard, and you were like, "What? What the fuck is your problem?"
Well, hey, what are you gonna do, rookie?
No, but that was it. It was just like, okay, so here, I'll back it up. How about this one? Do you guys remember this one? 17-year-old kid smashes his white Ford Ranger into a telephone pole, drunk, just off of ECR, face into the windshield, and lacerates his hairline, his scalp at the hairline, right? All the way across his forehead. And he's still sitting in his truck, and we all roll up code mm-hmm. 3 for an injury traffic collision. And he looks at us, his face is a bloody mess. And because of the laceration to his hairline, his forehead was sliding down, right? Mm-hmm. And his eyelids and his eyebrows were drooping.
Did you see what I just did?
Yes, I did.
Hey, don't tell his mom. You have to tell me something?
No,
what do you want to tell him? Tell him right now.
Okay, go ahead.
I can't because the air popped.
No, we can hear him.
They can hear you. Guys, say hi to Eric real quick, and then I'm going to send him outside.
Hi, Eric.
Say hi, guys. Say hi, Tom. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Aaron. Hi, Tom.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
When I grow up, I'm going to be a
police officer. What are you going to be?
Fighter pilot.
I don't know. He's distracted. He's like, wait a minute. There's something in my ear. What are you going to be when you grow up?
I don't remember.
You can tell them. They can hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm not gonna...
For the listeners, he was sitting there trying to be part of this, but he can't hear because Adam's got his earbuds in. So Adam gave the kid an earbud so he could listen to what we were saying. And that's immediately when the story got graphic. And Adam just gently reaches over and pulls the earbud out of his ear.
I don't know if mom's going to want him to hear about the scalp.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell
them
now.
Oh, now you want to tell them? Okay. Tell them. They can hear you. Oh God.
He's like, fucking him out. So his forehead starts to slide down and his eyebrows.
When I grow up, I'm gonna be a scientist.
He's gonna be a scientist.
Nice.
Scientist, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, you're smart like your mom. All right, go out. Hey, seriously, go.
Smart enough not to be a cop in this smart enough not to be a cop in this day and age.
I always tell them these kids are way too smart to be cops.
Yeah. So anyway. Forehead is sliding down with his eyebrows and his eyelids are just sliding in front of his face and he's a bloody mess, right? And we all are walking up and we're like, oh, ooh, right? And we're probably like 10 or 15 feet away from this kid and we all just stop and stare at him and he looks at us with this bloody mess of a face and he's like, I can't see. And I don't remember who it was, but we instantly knew he couldn't see because his forehead was sliding off his skull. And one of us was like, hey, just take your fingers and push them on your forehead and then push up.
It was probably you, asshole.
It was probably me. Well, push up. So he pushes up and he goes, oh, okay, I can see. And then he takes his hands off and it starts to slide back down. I'm like, no. Hold him up there. And then Joe was our sergeant and Joe shows up and he sees us standing like 12 feet away from this car telling this kid how to hold his forehead back on. And he goes, well, one of you assholes glove up and get over there and hold that kid's face on for him.
Oh my God.
Oh, I couldn't even, I can't even, that was one of my favorites. Cause that was like, there was a moment that dawned on me where I'm like, oh yeah, we're supposed to go like render aid and shit.
Yeah. Oops. But we were too new. We're like, oh man, this is crazy.
Do you guys see that?
That guy's fucked up.
His face is falling off.
Yeah. I'll be honest. Nowadays, when I see something like that, I'm like, oh man. All right.
You gotta go hold that guy's face on.
you know, fortunately, I don't have to see stuff like that too much anymore, because now obviously I'm in schools. So, but, you know, I let's just say I don't necessarily miss those days at all.
I do in a way. Like, I think it would be the kind of thing where if I went back for a week and did it all over again, I'd be like, that was cool, but I'm done now.
Totally.
I'm good. I mean, like we've talked about it before, the story with Adam pulling over the dude who had the vibrator up his ass and I didn't tell him about it.
What's this thing?
Yeah.
Well, that was in his ass.
I'm like, hey, yeah, well, yeah, I put it in my hand. Oh God.
Okay. Wait. So one night my wife wanted to go for a ride along. And she went on a ride along with you two assholes, right? And I don't remember which one of you she actually rode in the car with, but do you remember when, cause she came home and told me this, so you'll have to tell the story. The Adam was arresting a woman and she started to fucking tickle his palm with her middle finger while he was handcuffing her.
I remember that.
Okay. You have to tell that story.
Well, I mean, there's not much to it. I'm arresting her, but I think she was drunk and she just kept laughing and tickling my hand when I was handcuffing her and I was holding her hand. And I thought, God, that's weird. Stop doing it. So I'd reposition and she'd do it. She'd reach around and laugh and do it again.
She was
older.
She was finger banging your palm or something.
I don't know, dude. It was weird. Not the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me when I'm arresting somebody, but
no, for sure.
There was one time where Adam's hooking up this chick and patting her down, and this lady, I don't remember who it was, but she's like, "Aren't you supposed to have a female officer doing this?" And he's like, "No, we don't." And don't flatter yourself. Like, oh,
did I say that?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I'm kind of a jerk.
Okay. So, what was the deal?
Hey.
Oh, God. No, go ahead.
No, it just that reminded me just because I was a stupid kid. I mean, God, when I started this job, I was a stupid kid. Well, so I remember I got in trouble one time. I got in trouble, but didn't get in trouble because Bill Swift was my sergeant.
Sergeant asshole.
Well,
so, here. So just to give the listeners an idea of what Sergeant Bill was like, Sergeant asshole, this is how complaints would go when they got called into the station. He'd go, you know, ring, ring, ring. Hey, this is the sergeant. Okay, you want to file a complaint? Okay, tell me what happened. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. Oh, that's terrible. Oh, yes. Yes, he will be severely reprimanded. I'm so sorry. That's awful. Absolutely. Exactly. No, I will. Yeah, I will 100%. And then hang. Oh, yes, ma'am. Okay, goodbye now. Click. Yeah, I told that bitch to go fuck herself.
Yeah.
Well, hey, so the time that he had to talk to me, and it was one time, and I realized, oh, so stupid. I can't believe I even said this. But it was like a custody issue. This lady had a custody issue with her old man, and you know, I could tell she was a mess. And do I act professional? No, not at all. I act like she's a mess. And I said something to the effect of, well, if you would get your shit together, you know, this probably wouldn't happen. You know, so, right. Like, you don't say that to somebody. Like, what the hell's the matter with you, kid? So, well, I mean, Bill basically tells me the same thing. He's like, he goes, yeah, I just got off the phone with a lady. You know, just so you know, I handled it.
Right.
But did you tell her that she needed to get her shit together? And I said, yeah. He started laughing. he goes, what the hell's the matter with you?
Okay, so do you guys know Swift's background? He came from Glendale PD. Well, he was military, and then he was Glendale PD during the days of the Hillside Strangler. Like, he actually worked the crime scene of one of the Hillside Strangler victims and shit.
Dude, Glendale was no joke back in the
day. Oh, yeah.
They,
They hooked the books, man.
Yeah, they were rough. So
I have two great Swift stories that he told me, and so these aren't my stories; they're his. But he said that, and this is how like shit used. This is why cops got in trouble. Like, you want to know why cops got in trouble? Why the rules changed? Because fucking the old school guys did some stupid shit. So apparently, Glendale had a pizza place that would provide pizzas every night for the police station for graveyard shift. So what would happen was when graveyard shift was coming on for seven, somebody would go to the pizza place and they'd grab five pies and bring it back to the Glendale station. And it was a Glendale pizzeria joint and they were appreciating the Glendale officers, whatever. This is like probably the late 70s, early 80s. And so Sergeant Asshole Bill was in FTO at the time and he gets taken to the pizza place by his training officer so they can go pick up the pizzas for the shift. And they go in to pick up the pizzas and the owner comes out and he goes, "No, you guys take advantage. You're too much. You already pick up pizzas tonight. Why you want to take more pizzas now?" And he's like, "What are you talking about? We just got here. It's cool. Like, if you don't want to give us pizzas, that's fine. But we didn't take anything." He's like, "No, your guy just left with the pizzas and now you want more." He's like, "No, seriously." He's like, "You just walk out the door." So they walked out the door where he was pointing and there's a guy from LAPD with five boxes of pizzas putting him into, he had driven out of LA and gone to Glendale knowing that this place gave up free pizzas.
Free pizzas to cops? Oh my God.
And was going to take him back to Los Angeles from Glendale to feed the guys at the station. And he said that his FTO was literally about to get into an actual like physical fucking fight on the sidewalk with an LAPD cop over five free pizzas.
I bet.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
they're like, "Hey, this is our pizza joint, bro."
Yeah. I remember one time, I don't know if either one of you guys were there for this. There was a guy in the back of the car and he was kicking the window and Swift, we were grabbing his feet. Were you there for this, Adam?
He was in the back lot.
Go ahead.
I have never been so shocked in my life. He's kicking and spitting and Bill gets in the back seat and grabs him by the throat underneath the jaw and just yanks him violently. Oh my God.
Then he took his elbow.
Yes.
And he drove his elbow into the guy's forehead, I think it was, and just starts grinding on, like not hitting him, just grinding like a sternum rub on the forehead. Yeah. And it was like, "Calm down, you motherfucker." And right.
But
and
hey, it worked.
It worked. And then gets the car door shut and the guy's code 4 and Swift looks at like all of us standing there looking at him. He goes, "Anybody have a problem with what I just did?"
Yes. Hey, Bob, and Bob, remember Bob was there, right?
Yes, Bob was there.
He looked at it and he didn't say shit either, but
Bob didn't say shit. So we all went.
He goes, "Don't ever fucking do that."
Yeah. We all looked at Swift and went,
"No shit." So, okay. I'll tell you another Swift story. I may or may not have told this on the last podcast, but because this is the greatest Swift story ever, because it was my very first day as a cop.
Oh my God. Is this the search story?
No. This is, so I'm brand new. I'm waiting. I don't even think briefing happened. And a call came out for some 415 at a gas station way on the north side of town. I can't remember that street, but it's been too long. What's the gas station on the very, when you first coming in off the 101?
Oh, yeah.
The very end of town by the mall.
Yes.
By that strip mall.
Right, yeah.
Del Rio.
But whatever the case is. Yeah, Del Rio. So there's a 415 out there, and I'm just standing there. He's like, "You, new kid, jump in with me."
415's a disturbance for those of you who aren't in California.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for my first FTO, which is Bob.
Right.
Well, no, Swifty just says, "Get in the car." So I jump all happy and dumb, get in the car. We haul ass down to the call, and it's this guy. He's fucked up. He's just drunk at the gas pumps getting gas. Well, he's smoking a cigarette at the gas pumps. Well, Bill walks up to him and goes,
and Bill was a smoker.
Bill was a smoker, but he wasn't, obviously, he wasn't smoking right. on the call.
Right. So he wasn't anti-smoking. He just, he was anti-smoking at a fucking gas station.
Yes. So the guy's fucked up, right? He's smoking a cigarette at the gas pumps, which not a great idea, right? But no. Bill uses that opportunity and says, hey, put that out. Hey, I told you to put that out. The guy starts motherfucking us. I'm like, oh shit. Bill walks up to him and slaps him across the face, slaps the cigarette out of his mouth. And then he grabs him and he's like, kid, get over here. Rook, get over here. So we start hooking this guy up. So I'm like, dude, within 15 minutes of being on the job, I'm watching my sergeant slap a cigarette out of this guy's face.
And I heard he didn't even touch him. He just like perfectly slapped the cigarette like right out of him, like a wiffle ball. Like,
I wish that were true. I wish that were true, Tom, but he slapped a good part of his face too.
Okay, so the story got cleaned up by the time I got there then.
Yeah, I think so. Dude, funniest thing I've ever, like when I think about that, so funny. But as a kid, I was like, I see him slap him like that, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this job is awesome.
Oh my gosh. I remember, do you guys remember the, okay, so I remember hearing you guys get into a pursuit, and you two, this is when you guys got the nickname the Duke Boys. Do you remember that, Aaron?
Oh God. This is the very first pursuit, 45 minutes long.
Brownie, you have to freaking tell that.
Maybe we shouldn't tell this story.
No, we have to tell this story. We didn't do anything wrong. You guys just freaking were awesome.
Yes, I did. Go ahead,
though. Well, how much time have we got?
Jeez. Oh, we got plenty.
All right. Well, let's see. I was sitting at a stop sign and watching it. It was in the middle of the night, and this car passes me on the left-hand side, goes up to the stop sign, rolls through the stop sign, and me being me, I was like, I'll get the next one. And, well, lo and behold, Adam was coming the other direction and sees it. And I see Adam going to the intersection and go start to follow this car. So Adam goes to stop the car and the pursuit's on. So now I'm playing catch up and we go out in the county and
our county was like super windy, hilly, oak tree, rural, dark as fuck county.
Yeah. Well, just so you know, yes. Like, okay, so the city I work now is, I think it's a little bit bigger than 32 square miles now, but the city that we worked in, and it's as small as it was, 30,000 people, it was 32 square miles.
Right. It was the same. It's like geographical size. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So it was like working in a rural area anyway, but then it went out into the county on dirt roads and it was all fucked up, man.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So Adams, it takes me a little bit to catch up to him, and I'm now calling the pursuit, and I've got the spotlight in my left hand and the radio and the steering wheel in my right hand, all the while trying to figure out where the hell we are, knowing, okay, I just passed this bird named street and that bird named street. And just Blackhawk and all these other things. And so the whole time, we're getting notification from our sergeant Joe, who's saying, "Okay, once CHP. County units there, CHP You're right. units there, you know, TOT to them." All right, fine. So, because I think it was just the three of us on that night, Joe, Adam, and I.
No, and somebody else. I think I want to say I was left in the city on swing shift or something like that, because I remember hearing it, but I wasn't allowed to go play. I had to stay in and shag calls.
Okay, so we end up going down, Oakview or something like that. And
yeah, it was all trees and birds. Whatever, trees or birds.
So we come up to the crest of this hill and it's just nothing but dust. And I see the dust turn red. So I was like, okay, somebody's slowing down up here. So I start, cause I'm the last car in the line now. And just as I crest the hill, I see that the road turns to the right, a sharp right-hand turn. Well, Adam is in front of me, and he just T-bones or just head-on into a tree. And right. I mean, a big, big
oak tree. It was an oak tree.
It was an oak tree. And I barely missed his car as I'm still turning right. Barely missed his car.
Yeah, you did a good job.
I stopped, and I got out. Or I stopped and I rolled the window down. Adam's getting out saying, I'm okay. Keep going. Because the airbag deployed, so he's choking on the dust. And so I keep going. And I come out on one of the main roads, and there's the county unit, those OSO guys, they're there. And
by the way, that was after 40 minutes of a pursuit, though.
Yeah, on dirt roads. You were on it for a while. And then after that, of course, was when you guys got your magical nickname because you were out there, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I may have bumped the car a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Thomas. And so what did we get the next day in briefing, Aaron? Do you remember that?
You know,
you remember what they gave us as a gift?
Whole spot. I missed a whole spot on that where
You T-boned him.
Totally forgot that.
Because you both TC'd. Yeah, that was the big deal.
We both bumped him, yeah.
We both hit him.
And so, I remember at the end of the pursuit, remember CHP's like, you guys did that on purpose, right? You did that. That was legal intervention, right?
Intervention. I'm like, nope.
Joe, our sergeant's like, no, it wasn't.
Oh, fuck you, Joe. Dude.
Are you sure? This would be super simple report.
Are you sure? He's like, no. I'm like,
fucking Joe.
Darn. Yeah, but he's right. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
So. That doesn't matter. Fucking Joe. I got fucking bones to pick with that guy, but whatever. So I have a couple. So first of all, I teased the story on the last episode. I think it was the last one. And so we have to tell it. And we already brought up her name before we started recording, but there was a gal, she was a chronic drunk, and she wasn't our town drunk. Cause we Sherry, actually right? did. Yeah. Sherry. We actually yeah. did have a town drunk. We had this guy that he would crawl out of a rock, be shit faced. We'd arrest him. He'd go to jail for a week, sober up, come back, crawl under a rock, get shit faced, get found again. Like it was just a cycle of arresting him for public intoxication. So we did have a town drunk. She was kind of the female counterpart of him, but she was a drunk who was slightly functional. I think she even had a house or something.
Apartment.
There was an incident at the gas station at the main, like it was the main intersection. It was like, you know, Main Street and Broadway kind of a thing where it was.
Is this one of the times where she ended up naked in the back seat?
Okay. So I don't know if you should tell the story because you fuck it. This was Adam totally getting me back. Okay. So we already told the story about me forgetting to tell or failing to tell Adam about the dude's ass vibrator and Adam pulling it out of the dude's ass with his bare hands, not knowing what it was. So you got revenge on me pretty good that night because I was just coming on and you guys were bringing her back to the station. So talk about that arrest for public intoxication and how you fucked me over at the station.
I honestly, I don't remember the details. All I remember is that she was going ape shit. That's why I want to say her neighbor called on her.
She was at the gas station. Yeah. She was at Tesoro.
Then this is a completely different one.
She was at Tesoro topless. She had pulled down her top.
Okay.
Now
all you have to do is say topless and now he remembers.
And she was like in her 60s and leathery skin, like Magda from Something About Mary, but she had fake boobs.
Yeah. But they were hanging. They were
so
down
she wanted
like
to show
waist.
Everybody and she was drunk and she was wearing a pink dress and she pulled her top down. So the people at the gas station called about a topless blonde in a pink dress. And of course, every cop in the city's like, topless blonde in a pink dress at the gas station. And then when y'all fuckers get there and it's Sherry, you're like, oh god, ooh, right? Do you remember this now?
No, I remember it, but I don't. I just remember.
Okay, so you don't remember what you did to me.
No, I don't.
Okay, then I'll have to tell this. So, you fucker, I'm coming on shift. I'm literally getting dressed in the locker room, and I can hear we're out with one at the gas station. It's Sherry Simmons. She's F. She's topless, blah blah blah. We're going 10:15, and I'm not even paying attention. I just hear you go 10:15, right? Prisoner in custody, and you put out Time and Mileage, and I hear this screaming bloody murder in the backseat of the car on the radio every time you.
And that's my memory of it. It's right. Her in the backseat, naked, screaming. But she was also screaming that I was doing stuff.
Right. So, so that's what I was
scared because I was a kid.
So that's what I'll get to because. So I'm at the station and I'm getting my car ready, and you needed to get some paperwork to take her down to county and book her. So you had to go into the station to get paperwork to book her. And so you said, Hey, can you do me a favor and just watch the car? I don't want to get her out of the car to go get paperwork. So just stand by the car and watch her. And, you know, make sure she doesn't kick out the fucking window or anything. And I'm going to go get this paperwork. I'm like, who is it? And you're like, oh, dude, it's this topless blanche in the back seat. And you didn't fucking tell me who it was, you asshole.
Well, I mean, hey, if I had to see that shit, so did you.
Well, so.
Because misery loves company.
Yeah. So here's where it got worse, though, because at some point she had not only pulled the top of her dress down, she had pulled the bottom of her dress up. And now,
yes,
her dress was really a belt. It was like a waistband. And she wasn't wearing panties.
That's such a horrible memory.
Right. And yes. By the time
the kitty cat was out.
Yes. And by the time you told me to go, so I go over to the car to supervise, and I'm like, what the hell just happened? Because I see a foot and I thought she's trying to kick the window. She had laid down in the seat and put her feet, her heels up on the divider, one on the.
Yes, like she was getting a gynecological exam.
Right. She had put her legs up in the stirrups of the freaking divider. And I looked into the back of the patrol car to see if she's kicking it. And I just saw her in all her naked glory, spread eagle for the whole world to see. And I'm like, oh, and I turn away and you come back out. I'm all, you fucker.
And how what did I do?
You
I
didn't even warn me. And you just laughed your ass off. You're like, that's right. But. We all got the last laugh because then you go to county jail, and this is all I'll do my best impression of if I can. You're going to county jail, and because it's a female, I'm sure every other department out there that's listening knows this. You got to give time and mileage, right? So if you're a male officer transporting a female prisoner, we had to give the time that we were leaving the location and the mileage on the odometer. And then when we arrived at our destination, we had to give the time that we arrived and the mileage on the odometer. That way, if they ever tried to claim we drove them off into a dark alley to have sex with them, we could prove there was no time that could have happened, right?
You know how fast I drove down to county?
Oh, I'm sure lightning speed.
Oh, dude. No, dude, I drove like 100 miles an hour because she kept screaming and she was saying she did accuse
me. Well, so that's what I'm going to get to. So all I hear, you get back in the car. And I'm like, you son of a, and I'm mad at you, right? And then I stop being mad at you real quick because as you're driving out of the station to go to county jail, I hear,
this is time and mileage.
And as you're putting out your radio traffic, you are so irritated because she's just screaming in the background, quit eating my pussy. And you just hear her screaming this as you're
over
the radio
way,
the whole way,
the whole way she screamed it, like on repeat, like a child.
Right. And it's clearly you're not able to do what she says you're doing and operate the radio. So we all knew you weren't doing it, which is good.
Hey, thanks for the vote of confidence, guys. Really appreciate it. Jesus.
Okay. So Brownie, you have to, you have a story that, is actually a recent story. It's not even a cop story, but we promised we would tell this story on the show. And unfortunately, my little message was not received in time, but Adam didn't know what we were talking about. You are now in South Dakota, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And you are no longer a police officer because you said, fuck that. I'm tired of it.
Yes, exactly.
Good for you, right?
Yes.
But something recently happened that so I'm out of town and I get a text from you and your blushing bride, who I will always take credit for introducing you to.
Of course.
And, I get this text and I'll just let you take it from there, but it was a fun moment for me. And unfortunately it didn't pan out. So we're telling the story for the guys that were in, can I say the city?
Sure.
This is for the guys from Sioux Falls in the ER. Go ahead.
Okay, so I got the two stories. I'll piece them together as we go here. So I get a text message because I'm at work and she's at work, and she sees them as they're bringing in prisoners and for clearance and whatnot. So she can recognize that there's a little bit of tension between the ER staff and the PD. So she breaks the tension and just asks them if they listen to any law enforcement podcasts, and they start talking about, well, yeah, you know, we listen to some of them, and
right, because she works at the ER, and they don't know that she's married to a retired cop and correct. All that stuff, right?
Correct. So she says, yeah, my friend Tom does a podcast that it's war stories, and they're like, wait a minute, what? They're looking at her, and they pull up your insignia, it's the Spartan helmet, all that stuff, and they're like, is it this? And she's like, yeah. And they're like, you know Tom? And she's like, yeah, he was in my wedding. Yeah, of course I know Tom.
Right, barely.
Oh,
by
my
the way,
gosh. Yeah, yeah, oh my gosh. And so it was pretty cool. Well, then she sends me that text message that's what happened, and that's when I sent you the text message, hey man, you're pretty famous over here. And she said that you had sent her the little video. She ran upstairs to see if they were still there, and they were gone, but it was two other officers there. So she started talking with them, and they know you as well from the podcast.
So I'll say this. If the guys from Sioux Falls are listening, and you know, that was, I sent you a video message, go back to the ER and try and find the respiratory therapist, that was working that night, because I sent her a little personal message for you guys. Because, hey, that's cool. I really appreciate you guys listening. But also, if you guys can, give her your address, or if you give me your officer names, you know, your last names or your badge numbers or whatever, I'll send a little care package to the station with some swag in it for you guys to fight over. But I had sent you a shout out because I was out of town. I'm literally staying in a hotel, and it's like 11:30 at night, and I get this text from my boy Brownie, and he's saying that, you know, his wife's in the ER, and that these dudes totally listen to the podcast, and they couldn't believe that, like, out of sheer coincidence, the respiratory therapist that they run into in the ER happens to be close friends with me. And I was in your wedding, barely, by the way, because people that go back to episode, I think 3, when I talk about the shooting I got into, that was literally, I was supposed to be at your wedding rehearsal. I introduced you to this woman. I was emotionally invested in your relationship. I was supposed to go to your rehearsal dinner. And the day I'm supposed to go to your wedding rehearsal dinner, I'm getting fucking shot at. And the investigation takes up the entire rehearsal dinner time. So you guys got shit faced in my honor. And then I actually I came home.
Oh yeah,
home.
Thomas. That's why we got shit faced.
Hey, that's what Lottie says. So I'll take it.
Just kidding, dude. We toasted you.
But then the next day, yeah. I slide in there. I grabbed a couple hours of sleep after the investigation, slid into the wedding, put on my monkey suit, and freaking, we all got shit faced together. But, that was just, you know, that's my close connection with you, with Brownie and his wife, and they're out in Sioux Falls. So it was just this weird small world where they happened to run into these coppers in the ER who were, they were babysitting a tweaker they'd tased or something.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you're in Sioux Falls, and you ran into a gal at the ER who knows me, here's my shout out to you. Email us, mailbag.warstories@gmail.com, your info, and I'll send you some swag because, you know, Lottie's my girl. And if you guys are working with her, I'm going to hook you up. So
awesome.
Anyway, I, you know, you guys were the, you guys were some of my favorite partners to work with. God, remember the times when it was so rare, but we'd get to like boy up. Like we had so many bodies on, we get to roll a 2-man car and just go fucking, just go ham on people. We did so much fun shit. Like we could do another episode of just
always
tattletaling.
Better to It's always better to have four eyes than two.
Well, yeah, because somebody could drive
you. You're hanging out together. There's nothing better than that.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, when you're – this is my argument for two-man hoops, right? My argument for two-man hoops is when the night gets slow, to stay awake, you're going to go park at a 7-Eleven or park at a baseball field or whatever at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to, you know, 69 your cars like we do, and you're going to talk shit to each other out the window because that's what's keeping you awake. That's what's keeping you alert. That's what's keeping you ready to respond. Whereas you're not actually patrolling because you're talking. If you have a two-man hoop, you can actually do that while you're rolling around. So to me, those two-man cars, especially at night, two-man cars are super essential. So if anybody out there is listening, I think
it's the safest way to roll, and it's more fun.
And you get more shit done.
You do get more stuff done. You share the workload, and it's just a hell of a good time. And, you know, Thomas, that reminds me of I need to get my – when I was in gangs, like, God, I've got so many great stories, but I've got to get my old partner on. Him and I got to come on the show. And he was seriously, we rolled together for almost 4 years. And dude, it was like, you become closer than brothers, man. When you ride that long every day,
it's you your
know,
wife.
You love each other. You hate each other.
It's your wife. It's your husband. It's like, you know, you grow closer because here's the thing. Like my wife and I'll drive around together, but there is no point at which I look at my wife and go, okay, when the shit hits the fan, I trust you to fucking kill somebody for me, right? I mean, no, yes,
I trust her to keep my secrets,
right? And don't get me wrong, my wife's a mean woman when it comes right down to it, and if she has to cut a bitch, she will. So I'm not worried. That she...
My woman's the same way, man. I've seen her go ham on people,
mine too.
Yes.
For me, which is awesome. So.
Which is awesome, but. It's different when you're putting on the uniform. Like I taught my wife the whole clear right, clear left. Like my wife is a good co-pilot because she'll clear intersections for me when I'm driving, you know.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? Speaking of driving, this is just something on a side note. My daughter, right? This is a couple of years ago when she was going through driver's training. She got in the car with the instructor, and about 20 minutes into her driving lesson, the instructor looks over at her and goes, "Is your dad a cop?" My daughter goes, "Oh my God, yes. Why? How did you know that?" And the instructor goes, "I can always tell cops' kids because they drive the same way. They are all taught by their dads, shuffle steering, like clearing intersections. Yes. Like we all teach our
rolling
kids
stop signs."
Well, I'm just kidding. Hey, stop signs with white borders are optional, right?
Oh God,
that's funny. Sure. So, but again, I wanted to have you guys on because this is like a short stories episode. We'll do episodes, and we haven't done one in a while, where we just swap short stories. But, you know, I mean, hell, Brownie, what was the pursuit where you did the pit technique on a pedestrian?
That was your pursuit.
Right. Foot pursuit. Yeah. Mine was a foot pursuit.
Well, it was a vehicle pursuit that turned into a foot pursuit.
So
it was like 5 a.m. And
hold on, let me preface this real quick. Brownie, you're a big boy.
Oh yeah.
But fuck, can you run, dude?
Oh my God. Well, he played football.
I know. And dude, when he caught up with people and they didn't think that it's funny, people ran from him and they thought, oh, I'm going to get away from this guy. And all of a sudden, Aaron, who one time ran how many miles after somebody? Do you remember that one, Aaron? It was a good 3 or 4 miles.
Was that after, it was a while. Yeah. We found him hunkered down in a barn. We went
through you did, but you never quit. Yes.
Never quit. That's the time where Thomas and I were at one of the schools and Bob just let Lesko go.
Oh God. And he almost bit me in Lesko the ass.
Lesko was chasing us and Bob's in the background yelling, "Lesko here."
Okay. Bob was so fucking mad at me because I hooked around that corner after he had let Lesko go for his bite. And he had to call Lesko off of the bite because Lesko was going to bite me. And he's like, "You fucking robbed my dog of a bite. I had to call him off because you hooked that corner in front of him." He's like, "I wanted him to get the bite."
But hey, I will say this. I never saw anyone get away from you, Aaron.
No.
Ever.
No.
Which I think is so fucking awesome.
Well, do you remember the time Aaron knocked the fence down? He went through. He's like, fuck, I ain't going over the fence.
Well, dude, he only went over the fence in the academy.
Right? Because you had to graduate.
Every other fence, he went right through like right a freaking bowling ball.
Fucking Hulk smash. Lower the shoulder.
Yeah. But so for those of you who don't know, Aaron and I actually lived together too while we worked at the PD.
Oh God. Yep. Yeah.
And the day that you chased that guy for miles and miles and got him, I remember I came home and you were in the bark lounger, just beat red, and you did not move. You slept there. In fact, you were like
dog tired.
You kind of, I heard the story, but you couldn't even tell him. Like, hey dude, I heard about what happened. You're like, yeah. You didn't move. You slept there. You slept there all night, dude. It was awesome.
Oh God. So that's why I mentioned this and I brought it up. Cause so I was chasing this dude and he gets out on foot and Adam gets out on foot with me. So Adam throws his car to park. I throw my car to park and we're foot pursuit down the main drag. Like all the businesses are closed. There's all these little alleyways, all these old, like think of old town, like Main Street USA at Disneyland. That's kind of what our downtown area looked like, mm-hmm. right? It's all brick buildings, little alleyways, back parking lots and shit. And this motherfucker, he takes off and he comes around the front and Brownie was trying to get there to back us up. And you didn't even have time. Like you got out of your car, but what happened was.
Right.
What happened was.
So you're missing a part here because
that's why I'm letting you tell it.
As I'm coming up, you guys are there. As I'm coming up, all I see is the aftermath and this car is on its passenger side.
On the sidewalk. The
building.
Yes.
On the sidewalk. So he's crawling out the driver's side window and running to go down this little alley. So I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to get this dude. And I come up on him. And then I start to realize how fast I'm coming up on him. And I slam on the brakes. And luckily his foot hits the push bar. His foot hit the push bar. I didn't hit him.
No. He hit you.
Yeah. He hit me.
And
He falls. He falls in front of the unit as I'm still coming to a stop. And I had an oh shit moment thinking I'm going to run over this guy.
Right.
So I get out of the car and he gets up and starts running. So I give chase and he goes to the right and he comes to this chain link fence and he just turns around and like posts up on me. And that's when I was like, fuck you. And I went shoulder in, picked him up, did a suplex behind back and slammed his head into the back of the ground. Thomas comes around the corner. We start hooking him up. Then Adam gets there and comes around. Where are you guys at? Because it's pitch dark.
Right. It is pitch dark in an alley.
And so this guy, so then Adam comes over and does a freaking
the elbow atomic elbow from the top rope.
That's the people's elbow.
The people's elbow, baby.
The people's elbow. And I was just like,
to be fair, he delivers the people's elbow to the part that was unsecured.
That's true. Yes.
So we only had
let's be clear. He wasn't handcuffed yet.
That's correct.
Still resisting.
He was still resisting.
No, we were rolling him over, I think, to get him on his stomach.
And he was fighting. The fight was on, man. He was because he was high as fuck, and he was he was high or drunk. I can't, or maybe both.
Well, yeah, wasn't he? He was injured, right? And he was still fighting through all that.
Oh
stuff.
Yeah, he was fucking fuckered up. Okay, that just reminded me of another one, Adam. The golf course.
you mean Mr. Lose My Cookies?
Yes, go ahead. You want to dime me off, dude? Now's your chance.
Well, this was actually it was at the golf course. We get a 2 a.m. 3 a.m. we get a burglary call.
Yeah.
Did we think it was real? No, because
and we had a cool pedestrian path that we all knew. We could park on a residential street and take a pedestrian path to get onto the golf course where the pro shop was.
Yeah, so we were able to get in there covertly, and sure enough, as we're coming up, I could hear the glass breaking, and I'm like, oh shit, Thomas, this is good. So we run up and
legit, we looked at each other and smiled.
We run up to the building.
Right.
Oh yeah, we were happy. We're like, how often do you get to actually catch somebody inside the building?
Right, like it's a 459 in progress. The outside,
and I think they must have heard us coming up at the very end, and they took off running out the those doors and right onto the first screen.
Yeah. So we came around the corner, night,
whatever it was, but they run down the hill.
Right. We came around the corner and they were still breaking these big picture windows out of the pro shop. And yeah. One of us went, "Hey," and that was it, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Both. So both of our guys, my guy happened to be all bloody and shit. So
I think he was from the breaking the glass, right?
Yeah, he broke the glass and he got all bloody. I thought I was cut up, but it ended up being him. And Thomas takes off down the hill after the guy into complete pitch blackness. And I'm like, I completely lose him. So, but shit, after we called the cavalry and you came, everybody came in and you came strutting up with your suspects about, five, 10 minutes later. And after that, I'm like, "Hey, you good? You're huffing and puffing." "Yeah, I'm good. I'm good." And then you walked around the car and was like,
So here's the backstory on that, because it's hilarious. So I had eaten Chinese food like 20. I had code 7 Chinese food 20 minutes before that. I had nothing but sweet and sour pork in my belly when I went in this foot pursuit. And
you had a good little run too. Yeah. Good at least 500-600 yards.
So what happened was this motherfucker. So Adam gets his dude, Adam's going after him. Adam's chasing his guy. I'm chasing my guy. Adam's guy starts to slide and fall as Adam starts to sweep his leg and takes this dude, gets him into custody, like done. And wasn't your guy a cop's kid?
Yes.
So how's that for you, right?
I think it was for the sheriff's department.
Yeah, I think it was the sheriff's department. So he gets his kid into custody, and then he looks over where I'm supposed to be taking my guy into custody, and he just sees me disappear. Just poof. Well, the guy that I was chasing had went down the fairway, and the fairway dipped down like a 6 or 8 foot embankment from the tee box. So into the pitch black. When he ran down that fairway, I ran down the fairway, and we both just, it was like we disappeared into the blackness. So you're like, "Oh shit, I can't." And my radio goes sideways. Everything's, I'm just asses and elbows chasing this dude. So I couldn't even answer the radio, and you're trying to get a hold of me. So you start calling the world, not knowing, you know, what's happening. I need backup.
Yeah. Cause you never answered.
I never answered.
And I think you lost your radio.
Yeah. I lost my radio. Like I couldn't even, it was before we had earpieces and my hand mic went flying and it was, okay. So I couldn't even answer the radio. But this dude took off into the pitch black and I'm chasing him down the fairway and I'm like adrenaline. And then we get into, the rough, and then the golf course was surrounded by like forest and trees and shit on one side. So this guy, I see him go into the trees and then I go into the trees. And as I'm running through the trees, I realize A, it's pitch black. B, this dude could post up at any time and C, I wouldn't know it. Right. So at that point, I was like, okay, I got to stop like chasing this dude and I got to be smart. So I stopped running and I slowed down a minute and I got my gun out and I got my light out and I started to listen. Right. And then I heard a rustling and I went towards it and I walked past this tree. And as I pivot and there's the dude like sucked up against the tree, praying I don't, like a toddler playing hide and seek, covering his eyes, just praying I don't fucking see him. And I'm like, "Get on the ground, motherfucker." Like just, I was like, "Oh shit." Like he scared the piss out of me, dude. And so I get him down, I hook him up, and then I come walking back. In the meantime, because I lost my radio, I had no idea what was happening on your end. Right. So I come walking out of the pitch black up the fairway after a 500 or 600 yard pursuit. And then a hide and seek match in the trees. And I come walking up all happy with my guy. And there's like the sheriff's department and a couple of people from our shift and the watch commander.
DHP.
And they're looking for me. And I'm like, "I'm good. What happened?" They're like, "You didn't answer your radio, you fuck." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." So we put him in the car. And then once the adrenaline dump wore off, I'm like, cool, tight. Yeah, cool. Adam's like, "You cool?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm cool." And all the fucking code 7 Chinese food just came right up. So the next morning, the fucking detectives come into work, hear about the story. And then when I come in for my shift the following night, there's a little Ziploc baggie of Chips Ahoy taped to my locker with a love note that said, "Here's some cookies. We hear you like to toss them."
Dicks.
So
good times.
This is why I say those stories are why I said I wish somebody would tell us when these are the golden years. These are the times that you're going to look back at and go, fuck, you know, enjoy them, because you're never going to have this much fun as a cop again. And yeah, you two assholes, you know, I'm still glad we're friends. I'm still glad we know each other, even though Brownie stayed and I left and Adam went to a different department. Like, we all stayed in touch, and we just had these times that I would never want to replace those times, regardless of all the other bullshit with some of the other people on, you know, and we had some douches, you know, what was that? Itchy is fucking that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't have to go into that, but we had some douchey fucking cops we worked with, but it was,
but it's true. There's a handful, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, Tom, no, but that's please. True. There's a handful of cops that I will remain friends with, and that I will remain friends with and stay in touch with,
right,
at the agency I'm at now. And unfortunately, as your career goes on, that your circle of friends just kind of gets smaller and smaller. And a lot of some people might say, well, that's because your cynicism, and that's because, you know, you're getting older and you're a little bit more salty. And I honestly, I'm not that salty anymore.
No,
I'm really
no.
not. In fact, I went through a salty period.
Yes.
And I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy where I'm at. I think law enforcement has changed drastically, and it's pretty tough on us in general. But I also think that we have very good personnel. I think I work with a good crew and a good agency for the most part. And I love what I do still, but I still think that there's a handful of people that I'm going to stay in touch with. And that's not because the other people are bad. It's just, that's just the way it is. And you guys are part of that, but that's from 2002, 2003. You guys, we've been friends for a long time.
Yeah. And for real, you know, they always thought, oh, real talk. You know, one of the things that we were always told, and we had a mentor that we all kind of, to this day, we all three still, when we talk about Bob.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Bob was the guy, right? Like, Bob and Franco, especially, right? And unfortunately, none of us got to work with Franco for very long because he got injured and had to retire, but Bob, we all got to work with for our whole careers. And those two guys alone were so instrumental.
He's the guy you hear, cops, cop. He's a cop's cop.
Yes.
Yep.
And Bob was the one who said that law enforcement's a wolf pack, man. And you're gonna have to establish your place in the wolf pack or get eaten, right? Mm-hmm. And Bob also said that the greatest compliment, and he paid this to a couple of people, like we had a guy we worked with named Jim. Jim said that when he retired, he wanted to take all his issued equipment, throw it in a fucking box, stick it at the foot of the chief's door, and hammer his badge into the chief's fucking door and say bye. He didn't want to party. He just said, here's my shit. Fuck off. I'm out. Right. Jim was salty, the saltiest motherfucker in the world, but Jim was a cop's cop.
Yeah,
Jim was great. I loved him.
Loved Jim.
You know what? As much as he gave us shit, he
liked us, and he respected because we earned it. Because we earned it. And Bob told us, Jim is a cop's cop. And if I want to be remembered as anything in my career, I want to be remembered as a cop's cop. And I can tell you right now, Bob, if you're listening, you are a cop's cop.
Hell yeah.
And for the three of us, I could think of no higher compliment to say that I'm still friends with you guys, and we are still sharing these stories and bullshitting because you guys were the guys that I was like, these are my cops, cops. These are the guys, like, I never want to let these guys down. I want to be there for them. That's why I said to Adam, when I listened to that audio, it choked me up because I was like, I don't give a fuck if that's a different department in a different city. I fucking should have been there, you know, and it's irrational. Doesn't make any sense, but that's how I felt. And I know a ton of guys listening to this and gals are going to say, I get it. And I can tell you this, for anybody coming on the job, for all those, because we get emails all the time. And we're doing an episode, how to become a cop, what to do in the oral board, what to do in the testing process, all that stuff. But I can tell you that the best piece of advice I ever got was do what you can to be a cop's cop. Because if you keep that in mind, the rest will fall into place.
Yeah, be a team. Honestly, it's just be professional, be a team player. And as much as it can be a difficult thing sometimes because of the shit that we deal with on a daily basis, just be nice. I know that sounds so cheesy, but just be nice.
No, you know what's funny is the longer you do this job, the more you recognize, and this is so stupid that I'm going to bring up a Patrick Swayze movie, but Roadhouse is a fucking awesome movie, so fuck you guys.
Everybody loves Roadhouse.
If you don't love Roadhouse,
American, if you don't,
was that Ricky Bobby? If you don't chew big red, fuck you. Right? If you don't like Roadhouse, then fuck you. The line in that movie is when Patrick Swayze says, "Ask him to leave, but be nice. If they won't, you make them leave, but be nice." And then they say, "Well, you know, what do you do if they get rough? You be nice until it's time not to be nice." And I that always stuck with me that's true for all of you young people, for all the we knew bad, heavy cops that fucking sure. Jason, Leckler, Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. You know,
that fucking dude pepper sprayed a 14-year-old girl that he got in a fight with because he had no command presence, you know, and it was because he didn't know how to be nice until it was time. Brownie's laughing because he remembers. Dude, 11.99, girl on a bicycle, pepper sprayed. She's fighting me, 11.99. That was that asshole.
Yeah.
And that's not a cop's cop. A cop's cop is somebody that other cops look at and go, you know, when I become a full-fledged cop, when I get a hash mark on my sleeve, that's who I want to be when I grow up. So
yep.
You guys, I think you guys are that for me. Bob was that 100%. Bob, if you're listening, the three of us love you. And, you know, I know you're in command staff now, but we don't hold that against you.
Yeah. You got to be retired here pretty soon anyway.
He is. And once he is, I just talked to him. We're going to do a fucking City Slickers cattle drive. So you all are invited. Okay. You all are invited. Yeah. So, any closing thoughts, Brownie? You want to talk shit about me a little bit? You got anything you want to embarrass me with?
There's so many things. I think that's another podcast, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not that I can think of.
I remember when I had to distract baby deer for Brownie. It was a rural area, and sometimes we had to shoot deer that had been hit by cars. And one deer had been
dispatching them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So Brownie goes, and it's a mother deer that had been hit by the car in the middle of the main street. And he had to shoot it. Only its two babies were standing there staring at him.
Oh yeah. I remember that.
And he's like, dude, I can't fucking do it with them looking at me.
You big teddy bear, Aaron.
Oh, Brownie was such a good guy. Adam, anything you want to talk shit about me for? I think I've talked shit about you guys.
No, I don't want to talk shit. I don't want to talk shit about either one of you guys. You guys will always be two of my best friends. I loved working with you. I love that we're still able to, even though we will go months and shit. Aaron, maybe you and I have even gone, you know, I think the longest we've gone is over a year, you know, before we've talked. Every time we talk, it's like right where we left off. So yeah. I appreciate you guys more than anything. And I know that we'll always be friends. And I know eventually when I move out of California,
when we all escape. I know
you two lucky guys are doing that.
But you're not far behind.
I do. Yeah. We'll see. I turned 50 and dude, I'm 43. I'm going to be 44 this year.
Crazy. Oh, me too.
So yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. We're all the same age.
I'll be 45 next month, crazy. Boys.
Are you a year older than this? I forgot.
Yeah,
he's a little bit older. Yeah. But no, hey, anyway, my point is I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. And I'm glad you invited me on again. Glad we could all talk.
You're always welcome back. Get your buddy from Gangs and you guys can talk shit and I'll just sit here and enjoy. Brownie, you got to come back on. Go talk to the guys from Sioux Falls. Go to the ER. Talk to Brownie. Talk to his wife. We'll have you on the show. You can all come on and tell Sioux Falls stories because I honestly would love to hear what it's like to work a department in a town like that. That would be rad.
Yeah. Just look for the hot RT.
Yeah. So other than that, I just want to tell you guys, I appreciate you coming on. We got to do this again.
Sure.
But also we got to, you know, even though we're all hours and hours of drive, hell, Brownie's a 2-day drive away from us now, but we all got to get together. And if we can't, we just do this more. But for you guys listening, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody is going to tell you that these are the golden years. Nobody is going to tell you that this is the best time you're going to have as a cop. So keep your eyes open and remember that those stories, those memories you're making, you know, that shitbird that you know, that just completely makes everybody laugh on the shift, and those moments where you're at, you know, grabbing a cup of coffee and laughing about some fucked up thing that you all just saw. Those are the memories you're going to carry with you the rest of your life. The awful shit, if you let it stay with you, it will. But if you don't, if you try and keep some perspective, you can hopefully come out of it like the three of us, where even the most awful of shit can be overcome and laughed about because you had your fucking best buddies with you.
Yep.
For sure. That.
So, well, I think that's a good place to end it. Do you guys want to say hi to anybody or shout out to anybody?
I'll say hello to my wife.
Hello to his wife, right? Attaboy. You know where your bread's buttered. All right. Well, until our next episode, come home with your shield or on it.